I want to read from a letter written by Paul to Christians in the Greek city of Corinth, in chapter 15. Brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, a gospel which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, it will have been a waste of time. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, and that he appeared to many. He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living if you want to check up, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me. Paul had an encounter with Jesus that shocked him and surprised him and turned his life around. Saul, that was his original name, Saul was born in the Turkish city of Tarsus. It was an important place. It was a place of high education. It had one of the finest libraries at the time, with thousands of books in the library. Tarsus was a place where Antony met Cleopatra for the first time. It was where Saul was born. He was educated there until he began to specialize in Old Testament studies. And so he moved from Tarsus to Jerusalem to study under the leadership of a man called Gamaliel, a Pharisee. Saul grew strong and committed to his religious faith. 100% he gave to following the rules and regulations of Judaism. And so when news started to move around about a preacher from Nazareth called Jesus, Saul began to take note. He was still a young man at the time. He didn't like what he was hearing. This man, Jesus, was claiming to be God. And as far as Paul was concerned, that was impossible. He could not be God. Saul worshipped the one and only God. Anyone else was fake. The followers of Jesus were strengthened and encouraged when Jesus came to life again after being crucified by the Roman authorities. I spoke a little bit last week on the number of appearances that Jesus made to his followers, to Mary Magdalene, to a couple on the road to Emmaus, to a whole group of followers of Jesus locked in a room in Jerusalem, hiding away for fear that they might be next on the list to be crucified. And Paul outlines in the passage that I just read from 1 Corinthians that Jesus appeared to a number of people, some in large groups, some in small. Saul first appears on the pages of our New Testament when he gives approval to the killing of one of the followers of Jesus, a man called Stephen. Saul himself didn't take part in the execution of Stephen. he was stoned to death. But Luke writes in Acts chapter, in Acts of the Apostles, in chapter 3, I think it is, where those who were stoning Stephen laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And Stephen prayed as he was being killed for their forgiveness. Saul was there giving approval to Stephen's death because he was committed to his religion. In chapter 9 of the Acts of the Apostles, Luke continues the story. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters of authority to go to the synagogues in Damascus in Syria, so that if he found any people there who belonged to the way of Jesus, whether men or women, Saul might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. But as Saul neared Damascus on his journey, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, why are you kicking against me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" The voice said, "I am Jesus." "Now, you get up and do what I tell you. Go into Damascus. There, you will be told what to do next." Saul had come out of Jerusalem, as I said last week, like a roaring lion. He was commissioned to go and destroy this group called the followers of the way, followers of Jesus. But before he got to Damascus, he was led into Damascus like a lamb, blind, unable to see, unable to think clearly because what he had experienced, this bright light, he describes it as brighter than the noonday sun, had shone upon him and around him, and a voice spoke to him. He had left Jerusalem, commissioned by the religious leaders to destroy the believers, the followers of Jesus. And while he was in Damascus, he was recommissioned by Jesus. "You go out to your world. I'm calling you to go and speak for me." And off he went. For a year or two, nothing is heard of Saul. He goes into, if you like, a time of reflection and reviewing what he believes. And then he goes home, maybe to find a little bit of peace and security there. And then a man called Barnabas, one of the friends of Jesus, comes from Antioch in Syria to Damascus, to Tarsus, to find Saul, to bring him into the circle, to have him received by the other apostles, by the other leaders of the new Christian way. And Saul is brought by Barnabas and welcomed. And then the church in Antioch commissions Barnabas and Saul to go on a journey. And that's the beginning of a great change in Saul's life. He becomes Paul, and he becomes a great messenger of Jesus. The journey from Jerusalem to Damascus is about 135 miles. That was the beginning of a journey, many journeys. I was reading the other day about a young fellow who has been cycling from Land's End to John O'Groats. I've been in Land's End. I've been at John O'Groats. But I've never traveled the distance between. No. If you walk, if you do the walk, and some people do, to raise funds for charities and so on, the car journey apparently is about 900 miles. The walk is 1,200 miles. 1,200 miles. Wow. That's quite a distance. When you look at Paul's journeys, the journeys that he took, first of all with Barnabas, traveling by sea and by land, he travels, his first journey was probably about 1,500 miles. He travels, first of all, from Antioch in Syria to Cyprus, about 100 miles, I guess, by sea. He travels through Cyprus, another 100 miles perhaps, or maybe a bit less, and then on. What journeys? And I was reading in Acts, and in a few verses, this is what we said. This is what it says in Acts chapter 16. In between times, in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas fell out. They had a disagreement, and they went their separate ways. Barnabas wanted to take his nephew, John Mark, with him on the second journey. But Paul said, no, we're not having him. He failed us the first time. He ran off partway through, and I'm not having him with me. He's a failure. You can take him if you like, but I'm not having him. And so Barnabas and Paul fell out. Barnabas went off on a journey on his own with John Mark. Paul chose someone else, Silas or Silvanus, to go with him. Acts 16 starts with that they left Antioch, they came to Derbe, and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. And they took Timothy with them later on. They traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, that's southern Turkey. They were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia Minor. They came to the border of Mysia. They tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them go that direction. So during the night, Paul had a vision from a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to us. So they went to Troas. They got on a boat. They sailed for the island of Samothrace, and the next day they came to Neapolis, and from there they traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and they traveled on. Again, you're talking 1,000 miles, 1,500 miles. What's the longest distance that you've walked? I mean, I did a sponsored walk years ago, 25 miles. I walked 25 miles from South London to near Gatwick Airport, to about 25 miles. Yeah, took me a few hours. Oh, if you go from Land's End to John O'Groats, if you walk the 1,220 miles, that would take you about walking, maybe 2 months. These guys walked thousands of miles, or they traveled by ship thousands of miles, hundreds of miles. And they, here in Acts, in four verses, they've covered about 1,000 miles. Paul was committed. Earlier, he'd been committed to a faith or a religion. Now he's committed to Jesus. That makes a big difference. His relationship developed with Jesus, starting from that encounter on the Damascus Road, where Jesus said, stop kicking against me, work with me. And in Damascus, Saul is given directions and encouragement, and he's pointed forward by some of the followers of Jesus living in Damascus. But in the next couple of years, it's Saul on his own talking to Jesus, learning from him and learning that the Holy Spirit gives direction and encouragement and inspiration. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, as Luke wrote in the Acts of the Apostles, sometimes the Holy Spirit says, go that way. Sometimes the Holy Spirit says, stop. What was it I read the other day? The Holy Spirit of God orders our steps and our stops. There are times when God wants us to speak. There are other times when God wants us to shut up and do something different. But all the way along, he wants us to show in our lives that we are followers of Jesus, that we are reaching out with the love of Jesus wherever we go. They came to Philippi, a special place for Paul, a special place for people there. There were people there who were seeking God. And you can read their story. Lydia was a principal character in that scene. Lydia, who was a seller of purple cloth, a businesswoman of some high regard and high renown in Philippi. And she becomes one of the leaders in the Church of Jesus in Philippi. When Paul wrote his letter, a letter to the group of believers in Philippi, he speaks warmly of his love for them, and he encourages them. Read the letter to the Philippians. It's a letter of love and encouragement. It shows us, when we read it, it shows us how to relate to people and how to bring God's compassion to people. So Paul goes on his journeys. I had a book given to me a few days ago. Well, no, about 3 weeks ago. Well, that's a few days. And this is it. It's quite a heavy piece. And it's the Bible Atlas. And if you're into maps and atlases and descriptions of the social situation in Bible times, this is a pretty good book. I'll leave it here. You can come and have a look afterwards. It shows a map with Paul's journey, his second journey, and the first and second and third journeys, and where he traveled. It's mind-blowing, you know, when you think about it. I mean, it takes me all my time to go into Wolverhampton. That's foreign territory. And Birmingham is even more foreign. But Paul traveled. The Holy Spirit said to Paul, go to your world. Go make disciples. Go share good news. Go tell people that I love them and that I care for them, and show that care. Show that kindness. In some of the journeying that Paul did, he took money from that was donated by other churches. We've been hearing a little bit this morning about compassion and how from here we are supporting young people in other parts of the world. Hey, we could do more. If more got put in the box over there, we could do more. Paul took gifts that had been given to him by an impoverished group of believers. They sacrificially gave so that Paul could take the money and deliver it to other believers who needed help and support. Part of that is in the story, in Acts of the Apostles and in some of the letters. It's all very practical, you know. It tells the story of how the church began in the Acts of the Apostles and how Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit, directs people to go out to their world. It's a common theme of mine. I'm sorry, I keep banging on. But we are not called to come together like this all the time. We're called to go out. Isn't that what Jesus said? Come to me, you who are weary, you who are heavy laden. I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. But I'll also give you power and authority to go out to your world to make a difference. How can we make a difference? By being friendly and kind and compassionate to those around us. I know some of the work that I do, I don't want to draw attention to myself, but using myself as an example, for example, I spend a couple of hours every Saturday morning standing on the pavement outside Zohar, just saying, good morning, how are you doing today? How are you? Waving to the bus drivers as they come into the terminus there. Good morning. God bless you. God keep you safe as you drive. It's very simple. Yesterday, a lady stopped and told me that she's got to have major surgery and she's got no family. She's on her own. But she asked if I would pray for her. I said I would. And I did there and then. It's simple things. Being kind. Being generous. And Paul, in his following of Jesus, first of all, he was an enemy of Jesus. And when Jesus encounters him on the Damascus road, Jesus transforms him from being an enemy to being someone who is 100% committed to listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of Jesus, listening for his voice. What was it Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice. They listen to me. They recognize my voice. Can I be perhaps a little bit rude and say, do you recognize the voice of Jesus? When the Holy Spirit speaks into your heart and mind, do you know that it's him? Getting to know his voice. Getting to obey him. Getting to follow him day by day. There's much more in the story of Saul. But what I see is a man who is committed no matter what. We sang about that in some of the songs this morning. No matter what, I will bless you. I will praise your name. Even if it hurts, and sometimes, folks, it hurts. When I come to worship and my wife isn't with me anymore, yeah, there are some Sundays when that hurts. Because I'm human, aren't we all? We're human. We feel the pain of separation, at least for a time, but one day we'll be together and we'll see Jesus. Some of us carry burdens that we can't share with anyone else but Jesus. I'm sure Paul had experiences like that. I've talked enough. Let's just pause to pray. Thank you for your word, loving God, for the scriptures that reveal your heart and your mind so that we get to understand who you are, that we get to know you better so we can walk more closely with you. And will you help us to do that in the everyday experiences of our lives? Will you help us to reveal Jesus to the folks around us? Lord Jesus, make my heart more like yours. Help me to be the kind of person that you want me to be. Help me to set aside my personal agenda so that I get to know what your agenda is, to walk with you, to move and be like Jesus. Help me, Lord, help us, Lord, to be agents of good news today and in the coming days. Amen. And that phrase, agents of good news, reminded me, I told you last week about my Aunt Meg and my Aunt Emma. And if you weren't here last week, just a very brief reminder, a brief fill-in. They were actually my father's aunts, Aunt Meg and Aunt Emma. They were sisters. They were very competitive all the way through their lives, really. And when Aunt Meg's husband retired, he got quite a lot of money in his retirement, and they decided to buy a shop. And Aunt Meg looked for a shop that she could buy. And so she did. She bought this shop. And a few months later, Aunt Emma's husband, Uncle Charlie, he retired too, and she decided to buy a shop. Not far away from Auntie Meg's shop, in fact, just across the road and about 250 yards down the road a little way. So from Aunt Meg's shop, you could see Aunt Emma's and so on. When Aunt Meg was buying the shop, Aunt Emma said, what kind of shop are you going to have, Meg? I'm going to have a paper shop. Oh, right. So when Aunt Emma bought her shop, she was asked, what kind of shop is it? It's not going to be a paper shop, she said. It's not going to be a paper shop. We are going to be news agents. News agents. And you and I are called to be news agents for Jesus.